But I've been hearing this in my heart for probably a good 3 weeks, and it's been stirring in me, and I just have this pull to go in this direction. But I'm going to do my best and trust the Holy Ghost to just kind of bring out what needs to be shared. But I want to share this theme, maybe a message or two, the power of affirmations. The power of affirmations. The power of affirmations. And so just along that line, to affirm, because a lot of times we don't use those words as much anymore, you know. But to affirm something means to validate, it means to confirm, it means to state something positively. I'm giving you Merriam-Webster dictionary definitions. It means to assert as valid or confirmed. It means to show or express a strong belief in or dedication to something. So when we affirm something, you could say, I'm stating something that I believe. And we're going to talk about the power of that, the power of an affirmation. And synonyms, you know, a similar word would mean to assert. It would mean to declare, profess. When I affirm something, I'm professing something. It means to claim something. These are just all in the dictionary. It means to insist. I insist this. That's affirming something. And it means to protest also, to protest. Now, when you say assert, I just thought these were great definitions just in the dictionary because you can see the spiritual tie. But to assert, it says, implies stating confidently without the need for proof or regard for evidence. Huh. So when I affirm something, I'm asserting something, and I don't need any proof of evidence of something. Oh, sounds like Hebrews 11:1 to me. So the power of your affirmation is decreeing something of something I believe, and it what? It says faith is what? The substance of something expected, the evidence. My faith is the evidence of things not seen. So when I assert something, when I affirm it, when I decree something, I'm decreeing something that I've already got the evidence. I've got the Word of God. I've got something that's been planted in my heart. That's the evidence. And so this word to affirm implies conviction based on evidence, experience, or faith. So when I affirm something, it's based on something. It's based on what? Evidence of God's word. He promised it. And my faith in him, right? Now, I thought this was interesting. I've never saw this word used like that. When we talk about affirmation or to affirm, it means a synonym means to protest. It says, emphasizes affirming in the face of denial or doubt. Huh. So when I affirm something, I'm coming against something that's doubtful to my affirmation. I'm decreeing, I'm saying, I have this. And I'm protesting, I'm standing against. Well, isn't that, I mean, that's the word. So I thought this was interesting. So to affirm something is to make it firm. You could say to affirm is to make firm. So our affirmation is the statement of truth you make firm by repetition. I'll say that again. An affirmation is a statement of truth you make firm by repetition. And, you know, these principles have been hijacked by the world. It's called marketing. And they keep affirming something in your face until you buy into it. And you take hold of that. So I'm saying, well, why shouldn't we? They're doing the same thing. We should be what? Confessing the word of God. Faith is built by words. Faith is built by words. You might say, well, where is that? Faith, Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So faith is built by words. And those words that get into my spirit, into my heart, does what? It plants a seed. God's word is a seed, and it's watered by it. And the continual watering of the word of God nourishes the seed that's been planted in me. So your affirmation are words spoken, but that affirmation, that confidence came through, or that faith came through words. And you know, it's interesting, how many have heard of E.W. Kenyon? Some of you have. You know, I've purchased his books through the years. There's some books I have that you can't get anymore. You can buy them used if you can get them. And I purposed, I don't know, because this was just a subject, even before I was teaching, I was just studying and just hungry for the word. And I bought books, you know, 20 years ago when they were available, and I have them. Now I'm going to try to find some used ones, because, you know, over time they get dried out and you open them up and you go, oops, the pages are falling out. But E.W. Kenyon made this statement, and I thought, this is a powerful statement here. He said, the thing that made Methodism, now he's talking about the Methodist, but he said, the thing that made Methodism so mighty in its early days was a continual confession of the things for which Mr. Wesley stood. When they stopped affirming, faith stopped growing. And believing or acting upon the word became more difficult. Huh. So this is sometimes what happens. We don't see something, or we have some pressure, or we have some frustration, and we're like, ugh. And we stop affirming, and faith can wane. It just becomes weak. And you need to continually speak the word, confess the word. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we which have believed do speak. I'm telling you, it's so strong in me these past 2 or 3 weeks that you need to. He's reminding me personally, keep affirming the word. Regardless of what you experience in life, your affirmation is a public demonstration and of what you believe. And you need to decree it, no matter whether you feel like it or not. Whether you're going through your ups or you're down or whatever you're at in the season you're in, you keep affirming what he promised you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm telling you that these things have gotten me through some of the toughest spots in life where you just keep, it looks like your mind is, you're saying, you'll never have it. He said, yes, I will. Because God watches over his word. I'm decreeing his word. This is not something I've dreamed up or professed. This is something God says, all scripture has been given by and inspired by the Holy Ghost. It's God breathed. This is what it says. We're not ashamed of the gospel, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. So I can decree and affirm something, and whether I see it immediately or not means no difference. It means I'm expecting it to come to pass. And the devil will just put the screws to people and keep pushing and pushing and pushing to the place they get frustrated and go, well, I guess it's not working. That's what he wants out of your mouth. That's what he wants out of your mouth, because he doesn't have the power to make it stop working. His power has been broken. He can't make your seed not produce, but you can. And he gets you to the place where you give up and shut up. And you need to keep speaking, keep affirming what God has either revealed to you or spoken to you. And if he hasn't done that, you know, somebody said, well, God doesn't speak to me. I said, well, you got a Bible? He spoke to all of us. And he promised some things to us. The devil's a deceiver. And he will deceive you out of the promises of God. And the only way he can do that is for you to open that little thing right beneath your nose and start saying things. And that you start decreeing some things. That's Proverbs what? 18:20. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. It says shall. So the more we, you know, I think sometimes we think we're not the word police. Don't go around and say, you shouldn't say that, do that. God will reveal to us and say, don't do that anymore. Don't say that anymore. You know, you keep going around saying, you know, I personally believe, I got on this years ago to decree and speak over my body health scriptures regardless of how I felt. And I'm walking in it. I'm walking in it. I'm walking in it. You know, the when I fell off that ladder 2 years ago, that was the first time I had no headache. I did a face plant from 9 feet. You should figure at that point you might have a headache. I didn't have a headache. And there was supernatural prayer. I mean, even Robin McCollum was texting me saying, I saw something in the spirit. I didn't understand it. I've been praying. This was happened before, a week before it happened. I said, there were prayers. I said, wasn't anything wonderful I did. There were people praying and interceding, even when I, you know, even when that happened. But I'm telling you, supernatural. But you got to keep speaking the whole time. When I'm laying on that gurney, I heard right down here, no permanent damage, quick recovery. Well, what did I have coming out of my mouth? That's what I said. No permanent damage, quick recovery. And it was. But if you're going to keep talking about the doctor said, 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 he said this. Well, what do you put? I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to your doctor. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but what you're saying means something. and the power of what you speak, you will have the fruit of what you say. That's why, you know, these things about building something for the church. Don't be moved by what you have or don't have. You decree, we are going to do this. Because God will then do what? Make the people and resources available. But if you don't say something, you don't give God something to work with. You may not have the resources to do it, but he does. And he can touch people's hearts to come in here and drop something. You go, whoa. But you had to decree it. You had to pronounce it. And the devil wants you to be quiet. I'm not just talking about ministry. I'm talking about life. Death and life is in the power of your tongue. Or you could say in the power of your affirmation. Don't get over in this mental realm saying, I've been going through this for the last 20 years. And you'll have it if you don't change it. I mean, where does it say that in the book of James? It talks about the rudder in the ship. That you need to change the rudder. So that you can change what? The direction of the ship. So if you don't like the direction you're going in, you have to go back and say, what have I been saying? Then maybe I need to change that, right? Change your affirmation. And you say something different. So this area of confession or affirmation, confession or affirmation precedes possession. If you're going to possess something, how do we bring that which God has promised? It exists. It's real. Heaven is real. Those that have gone before us, they're alive. They're in heaven. Heaven is real. The promises of God are real. Those things that Jesus bought and paid for, they exist. How do we take that which exists in the realm of the Spirit and bring it over here into this natural realm where it manifests? How do we do that? For the power of our affirmation. And we take hold of it by what? By faith, and it comes over into this realm where we live and it manifests. And whatever time it takes, it takes. Excuse me. Let's look at a few scriptures here. This is Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. I want to read this in the Amplified Classic. They may have this other translation I gave them called the Laubach. They'll put that up on the screen. But this is the Amplified Classic, Titus 3:8. It says, "This message is most trustworthy, and concerning these things, I want you to insist steadfastly, so that those who have believed in, trusted in, and relied on God may be careful to apply themselves to honorable occupations and to doing good. For such things are not only excellent and right in themselves, but they are good and profitable for people." This is another translation. It's called the Laubach, L-A-U-B-A-C-H. This says, "All this is true, and I want you to teach it over and over again." Affirm it constantly. That's what the King James says. I want you to affirm this constantly. And he said, "Tell those who believe in God that they must take care to do useful work. This is what helps and blesses people." So we need to affirm constantly in the area of teaching. But you also need to affirm constantly what you believe. And Hebrews 10:23, the New Living Translation. These are scriptures we know, but I'm looking at it in this light, affirming. Hebrews 10:23 in the New Living, it says, "Let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise." So we need to hold tightly the promises of God. Without what? Wavering. What causes wavering? Pressure. You know, how many have heard someone say, maybe it was you. I mean, thoughts come, thoughts go. Keep your thoughts inward. Where your heart is. You know, how many have ever had a thought, you know, something happened and you go, "Man, I wonder if God wants me to do that or not. Wonder if that's what God wants me to have." You know, people think those kind of things. I don't know if God, maybe God doesn't want me to do that. You know, you heard Brother Hagin say, "Well, if that's the way you get prayers answered, so this happens, a door opens, it must have been God's will." Door closes, maybe that wasn't God's will. So we're now being moved by evidence, physical evidence. We're to walk by what? Faith. And not by sight. Now, I'm not saying a door closing or opening is something to weigh or not, but you have a spirit and you're led by his spirit. So we need to not be moved by whether a door opens or not, because if you prayed in confidence, it doesn't matter whether that door opens or closes, I'm going through that door. Because God promised it. So it doesn't matter whether it I'm going through. It's going to open for me. Right? How many people have, you know, you go for a job and they go, "I'm sorry, we don't have a place for you." Well, God's leading me to come here. I'm getting this job. I'm buying this house. I'm getting this. And there's resistance to it. Well, what do? Just throw your arms up and go, "Well, I guess God didn't want me to have that." Yeah. And those kind of thoughts will destroy you. You'll never get what God promises, because if you're going to go by that kind of evidence, is that this is the evidence of things hoped for. What is faith? Faith is the evidence of things hope for. And faith is the evidence of something what? Not seen. So God is just stirring me. Here's another scripture, Philemon, just one chapter, but you could say verse 6. Philemon verse 6 says that the communication of thy faith may become what? Effectual. By the what? The acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So we need to acknowledge that. We need to affirm it. And especially in today's society, which we're living, they're pushing hard for you to back away from what you stand for as a Christian. They're pushing real hard to get you to fear. "I don't want to speak up because if I stand for that, I'm going to get all this pressure from people, from family, from job, whatever." We're to be a light. And that does mean we're going to have to say something. You can't be a closet Christian. You can't be. It's not going to work. You're going to have to be, it doesn't mean you have to be abrasive or obnoxious. We're not talking about that. We're just talking about you walking in love and say, "But I don't," you don't have to be ornery with people. You can just say, "You know, I don't stand for that. I don't believe in that." Well, they can be ornery. That's fine. And you can still love them. Love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you and persecute you. You can be sweet and nice and just and still stand firm and not budge, can't we? We certainly can. And you just say, I don't stand for that. I don't believe for that. You know, everybody is walking through things. I mean, every family, you know, I have family members, cousins that are living lifestyles that are totally opposite of what you should do. It's ungodly. But you still love them. But, you know, I have siblings that are dealing with their children with things. They love them, but they say, but you know, we don't agree with that. You know, we don't stand for that, but we love you. You can still love someone and help them as best you can, but you let them know the truth, right? You let them know the truth that, you know, I'm your parent, I'm gonna help you, but as best I can, but I don't support that. But we love you. How many think does God kick us away when we do dumb things? No. He loves us. He's constantly reaching out. He wants to do good for us, and he gives us opportunities to change, right? But he doesn't reject us. That's love. Right? He loves us. Even when you make boneheaded mistakes. I mean, God's word says we should cast all of our care. We shouldn't worry. That which is not of faith is sin. Does he get rid of us because we worry? Does he turn his back on us because we worry? You know, we compartmentalize things, right? We say, oh, this is really bad. Well, if you worry, that's bad. Because we shouldn't worry. But he doesn't reject us because of that. He loves us. And so God is looking for us to do what? Affirm constantly. He's what? Hebrews 3:1, he's what? The high priest of our profession or confession, which it says. But let's put up Hebrews 11:1. I may jump off here a little bit, but Hebrews 11:1 in the Passion Translation, just as a reminder. And Hebrews 11:1 and verse 3 says, now faith, this is the Passion Translation, now faith brings our hopes into reality. Boy, I like that. We don't walk by faith. Faith brings. So that means there's power in affirmation. Our faith-filled words bring our hopes, our expectations, what? Into reality. And becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we hope for. What does? Faith does. Faith affirmations is the foundation for things that we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. That's exactly what we got done reading before in the dictionary. That when we decree something, what was that word again? It was the protest. There was affirm, assert. It said assert, to assert something. This is a dictionary, implies stating confidently without need for proof or regard for evidence. That's what this is saying. That my faith is all the evidence that's needed. That's what it says. My faith is the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It, faith is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. That's all that's needed. So when somebody says, well, I don't see that, I do. I see it happening. It's coming to pass. Because faith sees. Verse 3, faith, this is the Passion Translation continuing, it says, faith empowers us to see. Well, I just like that. Faith empowers us to see that what? The universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. So your words give birth to something that's not seen yet. No, we're not creating worlds, but I can tell you anybody who, I mean, just in the natural, simple things, people keep talking negative and they live out that, don't they? You see that happening. And then you also see people that keep speaking. You ever hear of what's called road rage? People get angry enough and they act out on the road. Where did that come from? They kept smoking something and it got down in them. And then they what? They acted out on something. So there's anger and rage in someone and then something tips it. And then they act out. So you keep speaking words and meditating. This is Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall what? Not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night and act and do it, and then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. Mark 11:23, a very familiar scripture verse. For verily what? I say unto you that whosoever shall what? Say unto this mountain. So in other words, we're saying my faith-filled words are saying something to an obstacle, to something in our way. Say unto this mountain, what? Be thou removed. Not, oh God, I hope this thing moves. No, it's moving. It will move. Why? Because I said so, and I believe the things that I say, and doubt not, and I will have what I say. That's not mind over matter, that's faith. The God kind of faith. And God is looking for a people that will just believe him and do great exploits, personally and ministerially. Think about this. This is Mark in the Amplified Classic. I know they may not have this, but Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 25 through 29. This is the Amplified Classic. And some of the I like this particular translation because I think it explains it or says it better. And it says, and there was a woman who had had a flow of blood for 12 years and who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians and had spent all she had. Things haven't changed, even today. People with much suffering spending all they have, time and money, and was what? No better, but instead grew worse. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment, for she kept saying. She kept saying. That was the word I want. She kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. And immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. Victory is now. Healing is now. It's already done. It was paid for. So when people say, sometimes it got me to thinking, when I hear people say, I'm walking through something, I know what they mean, but when do you have it? Do you have it when it manifests? Is that when you say, I got it? Or do you have it regardless? So when I hear people say, I'm walking through, I'm going, I'd rather hear, I have it now. I'm walking in my healing. I'm walking in it. That's what Brother Hagin did. He showed us, Jesus showed us, and Brother Hagin lived out these principles. He said, even that time where he had a stroke and the whole side of his face was drooping. He's a young kid. He's walking with his friends. They go, he said, I got to get to a church. He said, he went to a Baptist church. He went in, he said, he didn't even know what he said. He said, just lay hands on me and I'll be healed. Just lay hands on me. He said, I don't even know what the person prayed. He said, when he said amen, I said, I got it. And he said, I'm walking home. He said, no change. And the kids he's walking with said, did you get it? He said, yep, I got it. They said, well, it doesn't look like it to me. Your face is still drooped. He said, well, I got it. And they kind of poked at him because of that. So he went home. He was walking with a bunch of kids, and he said he went to this family, the young girl and the friends. And so the mother said, you know, Kenneth, because they were kids, Kenneth said he got healed. His face is still drooping. Doesn't look like it to me. And the mother said this, he knows something that you all don't know. And he went to bed, and they were still poking fun at him. He woke up in the morning, and his face was normal. He wasn't walking through. He got it when he prayed. That's the power of our affirmation. That I... See, I don't read, and I'm not trying to poke at something here, but it got me to thinking. I don't want those words coming out of my mouth. I want the right words coming out. That when we pray, when you believe, you receive. You believe you receive it, what? When you pray. So what am I walking through too? I've got it right now. And yet I understand what's being shared. Not trying to make fun of anybody or picking apart words, but I'm saying words mean things. Words mean things. And if you keep saying it and meditating on it, you're gonna walk through for a long time. Because when do you have it? When you get it or when you pray? Yeah. When I walk, I got the victory. You could be dragging your leg. I got the victory. I got the victory. I got the victory. Power of your words means something. The power of that affirmation means something. More you keep saying it, you meditate on it, you think about it. Here's my question. You have to be honest. See, and I'm not trying to single anyone out or poke at what someone has said. We're trying to get people to walk in victory in every area of their life. So when you say, I'm walking through, why did you say that? You have to go back and say, why did I say that? Be honest. Think about that. I'm walking through to what? To victory? You already have the victory. Because that's what that means to me. I'm walking through to get something. I got it already. Am I right or wrong? Say amen or say oh me. Amen. Because if you have it, you have it. Is that right? So God wants us to watch our words. Think about things that we're saying. Let me close with this, because we're done. We're over a bit. But Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This is Proverbs 4:23 in the King James. The New Living Translation, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. Why? Because what comes out of your heart are words. Words that you've meditated on, you've planted them, you've meditated on them. What does that mean? You water them. And the more you speak, you're watering. Words water. Just like God says, my word returns not unto me void, and words water. So your words, if spoken, continue to water the seeds that you plant. And it reinforces that. And if it's not in line with a promise from God, we need to uproot it. We need to change it. Stop saying that. Don't say that anymore. I mean, how many of you has God said to us? He said it to me. Don't say that anymore. I don't want you to say that anymore. I don't want you to think that way anymore. Don't say that. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. He's trying to help us. He's trying to help us so that we don't end up in the ditch, right? And we live a prosperous life. This is the New Century Version of, and if they don't have it, I'll just read it, of Proverbs 4:23. It says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. Be careful what you think, for your thoughts run your life. The more you think on something, you get it down in your heart, you meditate on it, and you speak it. So ultimately, it was a thought. And you keep, unless you take that thought and weigh, should I or shouldn't I, speak this, think on it. So what does the scripture say? Casting down what? Vain imaginations. And every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So if you let thoughts fester for long enough, they can run your life. So just some thoughts to consider and ponder. God wants us to watch our affirmations. And we need to affirm some things constantly. Because faith is built by words. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And your faith is built and nourished and strengthened by your words more than my words. So, Selah, and praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that it's life to us. We thank you that your word is forever settled in heaven, and the entrance of your word giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. We thank you, Father, that we make whatever adjustments we need in our lives so that we can live an abundant life, a prosperous life, a victorious life. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. If you're here today, we're going to have communion before we dismiss. But before we do, if you're here today and you've never personally confessed or affirmed Jesus as your Savior, you may want to consider that. If it's in your heart, maybe you believed that Jesus came to this earth. You know, if you talk to anybody who's I mean, I've spoken to people that are Jewish, devout Jewish. They believe Jesus. Yeah, just not, he just for them, he's not the Messiah, but he existed. We know, yeah, Jesus, sure. Muslims do. You can believe that Jesus came to this earth, but there's more to it. In Romans 10, 9, and 10, it says we need to believe him as what? My Savior, as Lord, and that he was raised from the dead. And I need to affirm that. So if you're here today and you haven't done that, this is an opportunity for you, and maybe somebody online watching can join in and hook up. But we're going to make this profession of faith, and if you do that from your heart, the scripture says you'll be saved. Let's say this. Father God, I thank you for sending Jesus to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I thank you that he took my sin, and I believe he took our sin to hell, and when it was paid for, we were raised from the dead, and his resurrection is my resurrection. I receive him, Jesus, as my Savior, and I believe now that I am saved and cleansed with the blood of Jesus, and I am a brand new person in Christ. If you said that and you believe that, you're saved. Doesn't matter how you feel, you spoke something from your heart, you released those words, and God watches over his word to bring it to pass. Amen. Glory to God. So if you're here today, just let us know, raise your hand, and we'll give you some free information. If you're watching online, just get in touch with us, either by email, or you can call us or write us, and we'll send you some free information as to just what happened to you. And we rejoice with you. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.